The following email was sent by Matt Straub 3 years ago this week. Savage. On an unrelated note, I went for a jog this morning with my son in the stroller, and at one point when I stopped, I noticed he had some yogurt in his hair. It wasn't until I extracted it with my hand that I realized it was bird shit. No idea how that fucking dead-eye pigeon got him.
Yeah, it's just never safe. My main takeaway, just don't assume anything is yogurt. That's
I guess
what I
so.
Learned that day.
Well, how did you think he got yogurt from the sky in his hair?
Well, because kids, you know, he's a toddler at the time.
Right.
They're always getting food in their hair. You know
had
what
he
I mean?
Had yogurt?
Oh, I'm undoubtedly. Yogurt is a staple
big yogurt
every
family?
Morning. Big yogurt. I don't eat yogurt.
So that makes sense.
Kids love yogurt.
I would argue you didn't do anything wrong because if it was bird shit in your son's hair, you still should have gotten it out.
And I did. And right. I did. Yeah. But I was upset.
You know that's lucky,
you didn't
right?
leave it in?
I didn't leave it in.
You know that's lucky.
What? Bird dutying on your head?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Is Dude. That? I think it might just be an Italian thing, but
oh.
it is considered lucky.
It's considered lucky somewhere.
Yes, very lucky.
Oh.
I always assumed that bird shit being lucky was something that you tell kids when a bird shits on their head and they're freaking out about it. And you're like, no, that's lucky.
Oh, yeah, no, it's something you tell Italians when they're freaking out about it, not kids. Kids and Italians are easily confused.
I'm from Rhode Island, which is a heavily Italian state. And so I'm like, sure, yeah, but you tell kids. Like every kid at my school is Italian.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
The following email was received by Nicole Dressbell 6 years ago this month. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, and the journey to becoming an indisputably commensurate polymath begins with a single skill and a dictionary. Now that you have learned Meditative Arts 1, you're one step closer to complete world domination, or at least to knowing more stuff. Wow, that... I'm embarrassed that I wrote that to you. I'm sorry.
You did not
no,
write that
No, I
to
didn't
me.
Write that. Who you, wrote that to you?
A video game.
Really?
Yeah. I was going through my emails and I was like, what is this? And then I remember there was a video game I played for an extended period of time, I guess 6 years ago, where you could learn different skills.
There's I know what game this is.
Yes, you do know what game this is.
There's a smidge of pretense behind this, I would say.
What do you mean?
Just a little, it's just a little
I
bit
mean, I didn't learn meditative arts.
Oh.
You mean I'm pretentious?
No,
or
the email,
game?
The email's
oh,
a bit pretentious.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was a venture capital that crashed and burned, so.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Welcome to Inbox, the show where we gain access to our guests' digital correspondents and mine their personal lives for comedy gold. I am Matt Straub.
And I am Nicole Dressbell. And our guest this week is a comedian, a writer, an actor, and a voice you heard during the cold open because we forgot to remind him not to talk, Mr. Jeremy Bent.
Yeah, that's my fault. I heard chatter and I was like, I'm going to jump in.
It's really not your fault. I think hosts can very clearly be blamed for that. Also, from Audio Boom's original podcast, Mission to Six.
Mm, yeah, check it out.
Jeremy, how do you feel about turning over your inbox to us?
Okay. Just okay is where I'm at with that.
That's not bad. That's good shape. You're in good shape.
Good place to be.
There's some sensitive stuff in there, but I also am like, you know what? That's those emails are part of what made me me.
Okay. I'm going to ask a question I've wanted to ask you for a long time. You hung on to Yahoo.
Yeah, I did.
Much longer than most
Very
people.
Very long time.
What was the delay? What was the divide?
I don't know. I think in my mind, I was like, well, I got a Gmail account. And I was like, but that Gmail account is just for professional correspondence.
Okay.
And so I hung out to my Yahoo. It was more like my casual, like, oh, I don't care about this email. Like, I'll send whatever. But there comes a point where even sending emails from a Yahoo account casually becomes like people judge you for it.
It's weird.
And so now, I mean, they both go to my phone now. So I sort of stopped thinking about it.
But you're still using both.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is there anything else you're hanging on to along the lines of a Yahoo account that you can think of?
Oh, there's got to be. What tragically outdated thing am I still doing? I mean, the truly embarrassing part of it is that I have multiple Yahoo accounts.
What?
Like, I have another Yahoo account that is like, if you have to sign up for some sort of service, that's the Yahoo account I use. Just because it's like, I don't want all that junk email coming to my other addresses.
Do you remember your password for that? Like what? That email?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, see, when I have a couple email addresses that are like my bullshit address and I have to reset the password every time.
Oh yeah. No doubt.
So I started, I used to have like a sort of password, and then I would sort of change the last few letters of it depending on what site it was for.
Sure.
And then I realized that's a very easy to crack. If you get it, if you get it once, you can get access to all my sites. And so now every single one of my passwords is a full sentence.
Now, are you supposed
to? Huge reveal. Huge way to think about it.
Yeah.
There's a but a short sentence, right? You can't use that many characters.
You can now. They don't care.
Really?
Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. Oh, that's so smart. I would remember sentences. I would be more likely to remember sentences than random. Oh, which where did I put the capital in this one? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, are you supposed to use different passwords on different sites?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, noting that. Got it.
Oh, well.
I'm going to hack Matt's email. I'll be right back.
Oh, speaking of hack, we're going to emotionally hack you with our first segment.
Oh,
no. I don't know. It feels threatening.
No, that was good.
Great. Thanks so much.
I feel very threatened.
Email roulette.
So this is email roulette. This is how we start every show, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen is you are going to compose an email that you would really, really rather not send with the help of myself and Mr. Straub.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't like this at all.
And later in the show, if you get a trivia question wrong, you will be sending that email.
And I got to clarify, you said he's going to compose the email. A bit of a misleading thing. You're kind of leading him in soft there.
He's going to type.
Yeah, he's going to type.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jeremy.
Yes.
You're going to email a former boss.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Yeah. This was a boss of mine in Boston, which is where I went to college and where I worked for a little bit after. And I had a few different jobs there, but this was a boss who was a very nice guy, but really got up in my business and was like, would like email and text a lot, not during work and not about work stuff.
Oh, wanted to be friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not just wanted to be friends. I think assumed that we were friends.
Yeah.
Wow. Was it like a friendly work environment?
No.
Okay.
It was a very solitary environment.
He was so lonely.
I think so.
But it wasn't like you were working at like a bar or a radio station.
Absolutely not.
Where everybody's usually friends.
I don't want to say where we were working.
Of course not. But we know it wasn't a bar or a radio station.
No, it was absolutely not.
I just picture everyone operating a console, kind of spaced out in a huge room, hitting the buttons.
That's a pretty good like depiction of what we do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd be like, let's hang out. And I'd be like, I can't. And so I haven't spoken to him in quite some time. And so now this email is, I got to write this email.
Okay.
What does anything feel unresolved? Like, of the leaving of the job, was there any specific way you left we should know about?
No, I don't think there was any like bad blood or anything. I just moved to New York.
Okay.
Like why I left that job.
Okay.
Awesome.
Got it.
Please open up an email.
Okay.
Tab, box, email.
I don't like this, but do you want this email to be from Gmail or Yahoo?
It's gotta be from Yahoo.
Absolutely Yahoo.
All right, okay.
Hold I think on. You knew the answer before you asked.
I don't know why I posed the question. I should have just said I'm switching over to Yahoo. Okay. What subject am I putting in here?
Buddies.
Oh boy. Okay.
I think the salutation is Heyman.
Heyman.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was literally about to type Heyman.
It's no question.
How about Heyman? I'll say long time, no email! !
Wow, Jeremy is taking the lead.
He is
on
taking
this.
The lead.
Yeah. Just wondering.
Okay.
Oh, it auto-corrected wondering.
No,
but please,
it back.
No, yeah. I'm going to actually say I want wondering with a G and then the little apostrophe.
Oh, boy, yep. That is a personal affront to me as a grammar nerd.
Yep, that's the idea.
Just wondering
what's been popping.
What's been popping,
yeah,
thank
God,
you.
That's so much more annoying. What's been popping?
G popping with the apostrophe.
Yep,
G apostrophe.
And then the
apostrophe. This is terrible. And I'm going to say wit you.
Okay.
Can you write out you? This is embarrassing. Okay. There you go.
So still wit though.
With no H and then fully write out you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Question mark.
Wondering G apostrophe. What's been popping G apostrophe wit you?
! Not question mark.
Oh boy. Okay.
You busy? ?
Capital U.
Yes. I'll be in the greater Boston area.
Can we say I'll be in Beantown?
I'll be in the greater Beantown.
All right.
This is horrible. I'll be in the greater Beantown, Benton. Okay, I got an autocorrect on that. Beantown area.
for the next couple years. Matt, if I say something funny, please don't turn away from the mic. Please laugh into
sorry,
the mic.
Sorry, you got me good there.
For the next couple years.
And I'm down to hang. Sorry. And I'm down to clown.
No, yeah.
Literally when Fs.
I'm making that a separate sentence, but you can...
No, that feels right.
And when Evs, nope, when Evs with an apostrophe at the end of it.
And right. What Evs after the when Evs.
Yeah, when Evs and what Evs.
Also apostrophe?
Mm-hmm. Great. And then enter. Hit me up.
Hit me up, bro.
And then include your phone number.
I do not want to send this email.
Yeah, that's the idea.
I don't like this segment.
Matt, I feel like I did a lot of driving there. Do you have any things you want to check in on?
No, I feel great.
Nothing bumps for you?
Well, once I got in what's been popping, I felt pretty good about it.
Great, yeah. Great. Okay, so Jeremy, could you read this back?
Yeah. So subject line, buddies, body of the email. Hey, man, long time, no email. Just wondering what's been popping with you. You busy? I'll be in Greater Beantown area for the next couple years and am down to clown. Literally whenevs and whatevs. Hit me up, bro. 61793.
Oh, no, stop reading it. this is not mean, right? I want to make sure that this is not mean because what we're doing, just so that Matt and I don't seem like bullies, it's really important that we frame every aspect of this terrorizing podcast like that. Mm-hmm. We're trying to correct an error you made before you left Boston.
Okay.
I just want to be clear. That's where Matt and I are coming from.
I was about to say, I think this is the nicest one we've had anyone write. This is not nice to Jeremy.
No.
Because he doesn't necessarily, he may or may not, he's not going to be in Boston. So it's putting
him in
an inconvenient
Here's
spot.
Here's what I will say. Matt and I will split the cost of your Peter Pan bus up to Boston.
Okay. I don't want to do this. I do not want
to
do this.
Okay,
I do
but
not
you're going to have to, though.
We'll find out later on with a trivia question.
My incentive to answer these trivia questions correctly is very high.
All right, Jeremy, now it is time for a segment we call Parental Units.
Okay.
Parental Units.
This is a recent correspondence with, as you could have guessed, one of your parental units. Mm-hmm.
I have two.
I will notice... When you went to pull up an email from your mom, you went to Gmail. Mm-hmm. When you went to pull up an email from dad, you went to Yahoo. What's going on?
My mom did not email until fairly recently.
I see.
My mom also owns an iPhone that she keeps charged and turned off in her purse. And then she will turn on when she wants to make a call.
Wow.
So your mom, this is such an incredible power move. I'm in love with this. So your mom cannot be called. She can only make calls.
Absolutely.
Is that an intentional power move or is it she feels like she's saving the battery?
It's probably more of just like, I don't want to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call when I would like to make the call.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
So if you have to get in touch with your mom at like a moment's notice, what are you doing?
I call my dad.
Okay. Well, there you go. Oh, she has it figured out.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
If there was an emergency, I would absolutely call my dad first because he always has his phone because he runs a small business. So absolutely, he will have his phone and I will get in touch with him.
Oh, I love this so much.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is an email from your dad.
This is an email from my dad. So my dad sells new and used industrial warehouse equipment in the New England area.
Great.
If you need rack.
Beantown.
Greater Beantown area.
Greater Beantown area. If you need rack, shelving, conveyor belts, forklifts, pallet jacks, contact my dad.
Okay, conveyor belts, forklifts, pallet jacks.
Preferred equipment resource.
Great.
Unauthorized plug.
All right.
Check it out. But my dad also, after work, and for probably close to 40 years at this point, has meditated every day and enjoys a fairly deep study of the Dzogchen style of meditation, which is a Tibetan tradition of meditation. So he teaches this form of meditation at the church I went to growing up in Providence, which is the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Providence. Another shout out, unauthorized shout out to First Unitarian.
Providence also in the greater Beantown area.
Yes.
It's technically its own city, but sure. So he knows I do improv and has seen me perform a number of times and occasionally writes articles for the website of the meditation group that he teaches as a part of, which is the Foundation for Active Compassion. And he wrote this article called "My Son is an Improv Artist," which I had to correct him and say, we say improviser, we don't say improv artist.
I'm going to start saying improv artist.
Cool. Sounds great.
It says, "My son is an improv artist and I am a Buddhist."
Here's the first thing that I love about this is genuinely, I feel like when parents tend to refer to improvisers incorrectly, they usually say something more condescending, but your dad elevated us, which I really like.
It's like normally parents say like, my son is a goof, an improv goof.
Right.
You know what else I like is the subject line was my son is an improv artist, I'm a Buddhist, as opposed to an article I wrote.
No.
Because all he's put in, he's attached to the article. So he really dressed up the subject line nicely.
Yeah. What did I?
You closed your tabs.
Why did I? I thought that was add a tab. I thought I hit plus. Create a new tab. That's what I wanted to do. Oh, geez. Sorry, guys. Eric, give me a second.
You have to log back into everything.
Yeah, because I closed it. Well,
keep this, Ben. Don't take this out. Don't mark it. We're keeping it. This is real life. This is goddamn real life. Sometimes people log out of their emails.
Yeah, this needs to be heard.
There we go. Looking away while Jeremy types his password.
I got it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You got that full sentence?
Yeah, it's very short.
Oh, here we are, right back where we wanted to be.
So maybe we should read the first paragraph just to give people a taste.
Yeah, I think the person...
Well, do we need your dad's permission?
He's fine with it. He would be delighted, by this. He says, my son is an improv artist. I'm a Buddhist. My son gets together with a group of other improvisation artists. Again, probably giving us too much credit.
As a person in one of those groups, I feel great about it.
That's going on Nicole's resume today.
Yeah, it is.
Bucky is one of the groups my dad has seen. So.
Yeah, I know.
What the...
Oh, wow. Something odd is happening here.
We just got bumped.
Oh, you have an email from my boyfriend.
My son is an improviser. I am a Buddhist. My son gets together with a group of other improvisers and with the mere suggestion of a topic, performs a 30-minute show that can be happy, hilarious, touching, or sad without ever knowing what they will say or do before they begin. This seems incomprehensible to some of us, parentheses, like me. Surely they must have some bits rehearsed in reverse. Surely they must have some bits rehearsed in reserve, memorized, or such that are sort of universal, that they can pull out and use in any scene, any time, right? Not so. They don't know what the topic is going to be. They don't rehearse and remember special bits that can be inserted at the appropriate time, if such a thing even exists. They never know what their partners in the scene are going to do or say. They just make it all up as they go along. Yet with practice, it is seen as a seamless work that appears to have been rehearsed ahead of time. How do they do it?
I love this.
So not to spoil the article, but his point is that meditation is a way of breaking your habitual behaviors and sort of paying attention to the patterns that you get into in your normal life that maybe you don't like, or maybe even paying attention to the ones you do like and being more present for them, which is sort of what we kind of aim to do in improv. Which is, you know,
that awareness of behavior.
Be present and listen in the moment and react honestly.
Right.
And like, that's a lot about what a meditation practice is for.
The only time you're really screwed in an improv show is if you get deep in your head, right? Because you forget what the heck's going on in front of you.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Did he talk to you, interview you about any of those improv observations, or they were just his own?
No, he has seen me perform improv a number of times, and also my mom and dad have taken an improv class in Rhode Island together.
That's awesome.
Which was taught by a guy who I took 201 with.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Did you provide notes on this article after you got it?
I did. So here, we'll go back to the email chain. Oh boy. Yahoo, guys.
It almost feels like this is your first time using Yahoo.
It really does.
Normally I have a mouse. I'm faster with a mouse.
Oh, that's right. Because, Jeremy, in continuing with your fascinating habits.
The same way I won't let go of my Yahoo completely.
Oh, here it is.
I'm mainly a desktop computer user.
Really?
2017.
Yeah.
This guy's mainly using desktops.
I have a laptop, but I basically...
You carry a desktop everywhere.
Part of the reason I don't use it as a laptop that much is the keyboard is really bad. It's hard to type on.
What do you said that before. You said that before we were on the air. What does that mean?
That means that like all these keys on the outside, like not in the center area, you have to hit super hard to register.
Now you're talking about your Q, your A, your Z. Is that what we're talking about? Okay.
Essential keys.
Yeah. Use them all the time.
Why'd you do that? How'd that happen?
I bought a computer online without testing the keyboard. Which is very dumb.
So you just have to really mash those down.
Yeah. Mm. Or you do what I do and just leave it on the side and have a Bluetooth keyboard next to your laptop.
This is
and
absurd.
I know.
You've made your laptop a desktop.
A desktop, yes.
Yeah,
that's
Jeremy.
Exactly what I did.
Do you have an iPad?
No.
You want to be tied down.
Well, I use my phone a lot.
Right.
Like if I send emails on the go, it's on my phone.
Sure.
And like, that's kind of okay for me.
You ever want to go to a coffee shop?
Sure.
Got to bring it all, Nicole.
You can't bring it all.
That stupid keyboard doesn't work. It drives me insane.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy.
It's one of the worst purchases I've ever made.
All right.
So my dad sent me this article and I sent back, I like it, but we typically call ourselves improvisers and not improv artists. And you could shorten improvisation scene to improv scene if you wanted. But these are minor quibbles. I thought it was really good, but you might be giving me too much credit. Smiley face.
Great email.
And my dad sent back, no, not too much credit. Just that hope that you can carry over what you learn in improvising into your daily life. Practicing all the time. Love, Dad.
Ugh, I love it. Great, Dad.
I'm going to show you one more email from my dad.
Okay, I hope it's just him screaming at you.
You're going to be disappointed.
Okay, because I don't really hope that.
Okay.
That would make me sad.
This is the email he sent. It was literally just an email where the subject line was, I love you, and the email had no content. And I sent back, I love you too. Is this just a random well wish? And his response was, there is nothing random about love.
Oh, I love it so much.
Wow.
I love it. It's also, it so demonstrates the difference between like a centered person and the rest of us. Because I feel like the fact that you had to clarify, is this just a random well wish or is something going on here? I think indicates how uncentered we are.
Yeah, right.
We're just like, what's up with this?
Somebody loves me. Yeah. Whoa, why are you telling me that?
This doesn't sound right.
Did you just say something nice?
Yep.
What is going on here?
Yeah. Yep.
He's a pretty good dad.
I love this.
Can I ask one question that I've had in my mind?
Please.
How long at a pop will he meditate? Like what would be his longest
at
session?
At a pop?
How long per pop?
Daily, I think he does like half an hour to 45 minutes, I think.
And that's in one rip, would you say?
Yeah. That's like in the morning, but like he'll wake up, immediately meditate, and then go about his day.
That's really probably pretty smart.
It seems to work for him, but he will also go on meditation retreats with like, you know, sort of experienced, you know, like yogis and stuff or lamas, in this tradition, they're lamas, where they will meditate for like literally like a week.
And no talking?
Yeah.
That's intense.
And like they'll get up and like eat and do other things, but they will spend most of their time just meditating. Sometimes chanting, because that's part of the Tibetan tradition. They will do chanting.
That's a lot of pops.
Yeah, that's an extremely long pop.
That is.
But that gave me one very relaxed pop.
Oh.
Ooh, so good.
I had to take it.
So good. Jeremy, that great dialogue reminds me of our next segment. Which is chat reenactment.
It makes sense.
Matt and I are going to perform a chat that you have selected for us.
Okay.
So, do you want to set this up a little bit, Jeremy?
Yeah. So this is an exchange between me and another
improv artist.
Improv artist.
Excellent.
Improvisation artist.
How did we have to think about that for so long?
I don't know why. Another improvisation artist, Jenny St. Angelo, who lives, I just moved to Park Slope with my girlfriend. And Jenny and her husband live pretty close by, only like 3 or 4 blocks away. And they were talking about like, oh, we just got this new dining room table. Now we got to get rid of our old one. And we're like, Diana, my girlfriend and I hate our dining room table. We bought it online and it's a mess.
This sounds like a perfect alignment of needs.
And I cannot wrap my head around having your shit together so much that you're upgrading dining room tables.
Yeah.
Like we don't have one.
And so she's like, well, we would happily give that table to you. And we were like, we would love to have that table. So that, this was like a month or two
ago.
So
does it have a wine rack though?
Is she getting rid of a dining room table? She's getting rid of a counter height dining room table, which is exactly what you need.
With four chairs. And we only had two, and we were going to get four, but then we were like, we hated the table so much. We're like, we don't want to buy more tables for this chair.
We don't want to invite anyone to this experience.
A little bit. Yeah.
Right.
But we always wanted to have four in case we had people over, but it was like, not
you
to this table. We hated that table.
Right.
And so she was like, we have a counter height dining room table with four chairs. And so it was like, seems pretty great. So this is the exchange about it.
Can I say before we jump into this, I try not to be negative on this show, but your old table is really stupid. It's just really annoying.
It's dumb and bad. Yeah. And we're sad that we got it.
You try not to be negative?
Well, I thought so. Is that not true?
No, I'm saying it never would have occurred to me to be trying that. I'm going to try too.
Okay.
Just kidding. Jeremy, Mission to Zix is so good. Also, our new table is here, and your new table is ready for you whenever.
Jenny, I'm so glad you dig the podcast, and congrats on the new table. I'm thinking when would be best to grab it. Are you around this evening?
I'll be around until 6:30. Tim should be home after that, but I'll check with him.
Okay, remind me where you live again. I might be able to come grab it at like 5:30.
Jenny's address. That time is great.
Oh man, that's so close. Okay, assuming it doesn't rain, I'm going to try for that and I'll get a Uber XL to take it home.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. Diana is going to be so surprised.
I love it.
Later. Hey, I'm nearby. Is now an okay time?
Yep. This is my apartment.
Picture message. Perfect fit.
Ah, it looks great.
Thanks again. Diana's going to flip.
You're welcome. This worked out perfectly.
For me too. Glad we ran into each other last night.
Table kismet. Smiley face.
Peace sign. Sunglasses face emoji.
That exchange was lovely.
That was the most pleasant.
So lovely. It was. I'm also not surprised. I don't know Jenny super well, but what I do know of her is that she just has her stuff together.
She's a wonderful human being.
And so I'm not surprised that there was no like twist or kink in the plan.
No, it
just
was literally
worked out.
A perfect execution of. Here's this table for free. Okay, great. I took it home and now it is the best table. Yay.
That exchange is absurd.
That could have made that more like heartwarming is if one of you wrote, I love you, friend. I love you too, friend. And that's how it ended.
Might have been weird though. Might have been really weird.
I think the subtext is there.
Yes, yeah. I agree. I think saying it explicitly would have been very strange.
Okay. Well, as you can see in the picture message that I sent to Jenny, I mean, look at that table.
I also love that you surprised Diana with this as a person who really likes Diana. Added levels of loveliness.
I did not tell her that I was getting the new table.
Great.
So I saw Jenny the night before on the train and was like, and she was like, hey, do you still want that table? And I was like, yes. And when I was home later, I almost said to Diana, like, hey, you know who I ran into on the train? And I caught myself and I was like, hey, you want to go see like some movie or something?
Then you had to go see a movie.
Yeah, that's okay. We like mostly the same movies. As you can see, I have just received an email. From my friend Nathaniel about seeing the new Blade Runner.
Oh,
excellent.
Yeah.
And Diana has said, yes, count me and Jeremy in. She did not check with me. She knew I would want to see the new Blade Runner.
Oh, so efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I love this. Jeremy, we're going to try a new segment with you this week.
I would love to try a new segment.
It's called Unlinked.
Unlinked.
Okay.
So we're all getting emails from LinkedIn.
Oh, boy. You can't stop the emails from LinkedIn.
Nobody I know is looking for them, but we're all getting them.
We are all getting them.
Would you say those are going to your Yahoo, those notifications?
That's a hard Yahoo is what I would call that. You got to.
Yahoo 2? Is that your Yahoo 2?
No. That was just I didn't do the at sign. gosh, what is my LinkedIn password? Is that this? We got it, baby.
Ooh, here we are.
Yeah.
So you got any interesting LinkedIn messages?
So it's funny that you ask because I get very few messages on LinkedIn.
You do have a picture attached to your LinkedIn though.
Well, you got to put a picture on there.
I didn't know.
Yeah, Nicole, you got to do that.
I don't understand. Are people on LinkedIn for real?
Do you want to view my profile first?
Yeah. Why is that guy so upset?
Is it me?
Yes, it's a picture of you, but you look really upset.
Oh,
you look mad to be there.
We need to edit this to say improvisation artist, by the way.
Yeah, this photo says, I'm a kooky guy.
It does not, Jeremy. It says like, ugh.
No, it says really? Should I change that photo?
I don't think you should because I think that's very funny. But okay. Yeah, Jeremy, in miniature, because I think this was your headshot for a little while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was.
Never thought that when I saw your headshot. Mm. In miniature, You look like a guy who's...
I do. Now that you're saying it, I'm like, yeah, I look kind of disgusted with the whole affair.
Yes.
It's kind of a combo of what Jeremy said. I'm a goofy guy, but I'm having some intestinal discomfort right now.
That's exactly.
That was actually a very true story a few years ago, probably when I uploaded this photo.
Well,
so
there you
checks
go.
Out.
There you go.
Yeah. So like, here's all my great stuff on
Wow,
on LinkedIn.
You are for
oh, you
real
did,
on
you
LinkedIn.
Did it.
I just like transferred my resume and, you know, and added that I'm a teacher at UCB.
So, good for you.
You know, that okay. is something I do.
So, you got any good messages?
I got this message literally earlier this week. And it's from, I don't know if I should say this guy's name.
No, let's not.
Okay. I don't want to throw this guy under the bus. But this guy is a freelance comedy and sports writer is his sort of headline
Matt.
On LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's you.
Well, same deal.
Not a freelance writer, but yes.
Oh, right. Whatever.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
fair enough.
Fine. Sorry to be so
this guy's
technical.
Freelance.
Okay.
And he messaged me out of the blue and said, hey, hi, Jeremy. Just touching base. If you ever use writers or have a use for cartoons, because I checked this guy's profile. He also does like political cartoons.
Great.
If so, I'd like to visit with you. Regardless, I appreciate you being in my network.
Wow, this guy is...
He's a class act.
He's a class act.
Surrounded by nice people.
Yes, that's true.
Well, you know, you take the time to put positivity out into the world, it will come back to you.
I guess so. But also, this is like reaching out to just another person looking for employment to ask if they need a person looking for employment. Because nowhere are you yeah. the boss of anything. No offense.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. No, I'm strictly an underling.
Right.
Yeah.
But what a nice way to end a yes. sort of solicitous message.
I know, to say like, I appreciate you being in my network.
Also, the fact that he says, I'd like to meet with you or I'd like to grab a coffee, but I'd like to visit with you was really interesting.
Yeah,
that was sort of an interesting part for me because from what I can tell from his profile is that I think he lives in Florida.
So he's really visiting. He's staying with you if he comes up
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
my like, old boss wanted to visit with you, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know if that's where we are, you know, this me and this guy, like, I don't
you're,
know. If
I'll
that's
tell a, you right now, you're not.
Okay. Fair enough. But
this is probably who we should have written email roulette to, by the way.
Probably.
Yeah, it should have been Jeremy. Except, really withheld.
I don't know this guy at all.
Okay. Well, it's okay. I have an idea for later.
Oh boy. All right.
Let's move on to our next segment.
Okay.
Jeremy, this segment's called YouTube History. We
okay.
don't have a funny, we need a funny name for it.
I think that's pretty good. YouTube History.
How
that's
is that?
Rich.
How is it?
It just
what is
says
it?
So much.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Everything else is like a funny little twist on it.
Yeah.
But well, maybe, no, I guess chat reenactment is just a chat reenactment parental unit. You know what? Maybe I'm wrong.
What's your tube history?
Some of them have fun names, right? Okay. We're going to work on it.
Okay.
Please submit names. Anyway, Jeremy, you're already on it. You've gone
yep.
to YouTube.
Yep.
We're in your search history.
My search. This is things I have searched for on YouTube.
Are these all, these all look like comedy references?
Some of them are.
What's dog Gumby?
I don't know.
Well,
let's click
out.
On it. You searched for it 2 weeks ago.
I know. That's probably... Oh, yeah. This is a video my girlfriend loves of a dog has a Gumby toy that he loves, and his owner dresses up in a full-size Gumby costume. Here, this is an ad. Nobody wants that.
Oh, and this is not one of those 15-second ones. This is you're not getting the video till after the ad.
The worst.
Wow, this video has 12 million views. I feel like I have heard of it.
Okay. Yeah, just watch this.
What's? I wish I was in this dog's head. What's going on in this dog's head?
This is like a lot. The dog loves this or is trying to attack.
I don't think this dog could be happier, to be perfectly honest.
How, like, what is this dog thinking?
I think this dog, I feel like this dog is thinking what every kid, like every six-year-old kid who's playing with an action figure wishes would happen, where like the action figure comes alive and he's like, I'm your friend now. And you're like,
very interesting that he's going right for the head.
Yeah. That's a happy dog. That's an excited dog.
That's a happy owner,
yes.
I think.
The owner, I think, is maybe like, I wish I wasn't wearing this Gumby costume.
Yep.
Because the visibility in the Gumby costume doesn't
it.
Seem great.
I love it. So this is a favorite.
That's a Diana, certified Diana fave, dog Gumby. You can find it.
Got a little Flight of the Conchords in there.
Yeah. That is, Diana and I saw Flight of the Conchords live last summer, and that's a song that is not on one of their albums, but they played at the concert that is very funny.
Very nice. It seems like YouTube is a community community thing in your home. Right? Like all of your references. And even before we were on the air, when you talked about using YouTube, it was for the purposes of socializing with your girlfriend.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. Like I was saying to Nicole, I have a lot of, like, I searched Paul F. Tompkins horror movies because he has a great routine about that thing that always happens in horror movies where, like, the main character finds a sink and they, like, duck their head down. They, like, look in the mirror. They duck their head down and, like, wash their face. And then they come back up. The monster's right behind them.
Yeah.
It's a very funny bit. And I wanted to show my girlfriend. So, but I have a ton of those, of, like, comedian's name fun bit they do.
Yeah. Also, you trying to legally watch some television shows on here.
A little Ray Charles, Eleanor Rigby.
That was, so we were having a conversation about what's a cover that's better than the original.
Oh.
Is that better than the original?
That was Diana's case. She enjoys the Ray Charles version of Eleanor Rigby.
Wow.
I think about this often. What are some you came up with?
Well, mine that I submitted is Mary Clayton's cover of Neil Young's Southern Man.
Okay.
Southern Man is like a sort of condemnation of like white Southern. Mm-hmm. Like Neil Young sings it and it's like, it's a great song, but Mary Clayton is a black woman.
Right.
And is also, no disrespect to Neil Young, but a way better singer than Neil Young. And so that cover of it is like terrific.
Right.
So I contend that that is better than the original.
What about the Ray Charles Eleanor Rigby?
It's good. For me, I don't know if it's better than the original, but I would say it's at least as good and it's definitely worth listening
okay.
to.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one.
Oh, cover's better than the original?
Yeah.
It's a hard question. Because, like, when you say better than the original, I think you have to say, like, in all not just in one way, but I think in all respects, the cover has to be superior. And I feel that strongly about the Mary Clayton Southern Man. I think that is a better version of that song.
Fascinating. I wonder if context also makes a difference.
Sure. I
Who
think so.
Who sings the cover of With a Little Help from My Friends for Wonder Years?
Oh, that's Joe Cocker, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would argue maybe, yeah. Right?
I could, that case could be made because I think that, that is like a more earnest version of that song.
Yes.
And like that's the whole kind of point of that song. Whereas the Beatles version is a little like sing-songy.
Yes.
And I think the Joe Cocker version is a little more emotionally honest.
Also, I'm going to say something that you're not going to agree with. Very okay. controversial. Right. I stand by it. This might be sentimentality. The Rufus Wainwright, Hallelujah.
Mm.
I know.
I don't agree with it.
I knew you wouldn't.
But yeah, I can't go there.
Like, I can respect that opinion, but I don't agree with it.
Sure.
I respect that you have the opinion.
Yeah. And so, like I said, it's not like an intellectual argument that I would defend. I'm saying sentimentally, it speaks to me.
And I like, you know, music is a emotional art
totally.
Form.
Totally.
I think that's totally fair.
Jeremy, such pleasant exchanges. So pleasant.
I'm looking at other.
I like that you've just searched for Die Hard in YouTube. What were you hoping to find there?
So my friend John Timothy had what he calls a game jam where people have to up with board games in 48 hours. And he gives you, so that it's not just like the world is too big. You can make a game about anything. So he specifies you have to make a game about this movie in some way.
Okay.
And so the movie was Die Hard, which I've seen, but I hadn't seen in a while. So I was trying to find Die Hard.
Wait, so you had to make a board game?
Yeah.
And what did you come up with?
I made a game called Die Cards, which is a card-based reenactment of the movie Die Hard.
Also, Die Hard is such a great suggestion to inspire board games.
Oh, excellent.
What a great suggestion. What a smart person who came up with that.
Yeah. What a talented and skilled individual.
My boyfriend came up with the suggestion.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Jeremy, it's time to move on one of our last segments.
Okay.
It's called Search Alert.
Search Alert.
So we're going to head back. Let's head back into, Matt, Gmail or Yahoo?
Got to go Yahoo. Got to keep it in Yahoo.
Great. Jeremy, we're going to give you a search term, and we're going to find an email that uses this search term.
Okay, great.
Matt, you got any ideas?
Let's do, so what we've learned here is so many things around Jeremy, you know, we got the I love you. Everything has been very pleasant. Can we try to find something kind of negative? You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, we could try.
So with that in mind, like pissed off or.
Yeah, let's go for pissed
this
off.
This sucks.
You know, let's go this sucks.
I mean,
please, in quotes.
Okay.
Also, Matt, you just talked like 20 minutes ago about how you try not to be negative on the podcast.
Oh, did I say that? I don't even remember saying that.
But this is a reaction to my lack of
negativity.
Right, that's fair.
All right. So I'm this sucks in quotes. Let's see what we get. Okay.
Looks like a lot of comedy references.
This is Arthur Myers. Do you know the Donald P. McMahon Project?
No.
Okay. So my friend Arthur, who I did a sketch with in college and who now writes for Jimmy Fallon, does this thing called the Donald P. McMahon Project, where every week a different person writes up an album that they think other people should listen to.
Great.
And Arthur sends out the write-up and the album. It's really fun.
That's cool. I do know about that.
These are probably just people talking about music sucking, but I need me saying something sucks.
What happened in December?
Where?
Down.
Oh, this. Okay. This is an email to Bucky. So, Nicole, in theory, you got this email.
And I didn't write it.
This is me. Theater should be closed for Christmas, maybe New Year's Day. I'm here if it's open on New Year's Day. And yes, Laura, please get famous with Don and then hire us all to be studio jesters in LA. That's still a job, right? I don't say sucks in this email.
Wow, the Yahoo search function sucks. All right, let's go back.
Okay, all right.
Ben's making a note. Ben's created his job. Okay. Go down. I don't know why I'm directing like you don't know how to.
There we go. Here's a bunch of sucks.
Yeah, now we're talking.
What's very important stuff?
I'm sure it's completely meaningless. Oh, this is from my friend who just broke up with his girlfriend and is saying, we're not talking to each other at all. It sucks.
Okay, but also separate from that, can we read your email to him out loud?
Yeah, which one?
This one.
Okay. Let me see what this is in reference to. Oh, so my friend has started teaching. He was a lawyer, a corporate lawyer. And then for a year he was teaching at a law school.
Right.
And he was talking about how a lot of stuff he like doesn't know super well because it's like not his area of specialty. And so he just kind of like glides over it.
Great.
And so I say, haha, excellent. Lie to those sweet little babies. And he's asking me how my neighborhood is because he left the neighborhood. I say, neighborhood is continuing to gentrify apace. I am personally way excited about this development. And I sent him a link to a beer garden that was about to open in our neighborhood. Let me know if you're ever back in the area.
Jeremy, those first two sentences together make you sound like a supervillain.
Yeah, no,
like,
I agree.
Lie to those babies.
Lie to those sweet
also,
little babies.
The phrase neighborhood is continuing to gentrify apace. It's like you, that's a bad guy writes that.
Yeah, that's a guy who owns a controlling share
and
of
then
the
you
neighborhood.
Say, and then it's not what you meant, but you did say, I personally am very excited about this development.
Yeah.
And it feels like it should be a link to like a series of condos you're putting up over a school.
No, it was just a beer garden that was going to have really good food.
Very funny. Yeah. Is it? Did that beer garden open?
It did.
Did you? How much did you actually visit that beer garden you were so excited about?
I think I went there fewer than five times.
That's not nothing, though.
It's not. And the food there was good. And the times that I went, I did have a good time. It was, my biggest problem with it was it had very high ceilings.
It doesn't sound like a huge problem.
Well, I had high ceilings.
Well,
it
depends on
so
how high
really, it was
are.
Really loud. Oh. And so the sound just like echoed forever. And it was just like too loud for me.
Shouldn't a beer garden not have ceilings because it's outside?
Part of it was outside.
But only part?
Only
I feel
part.
Like the majority of a beer garden should be outside. Is this a hot take?
You're not wrong, but in New York, that is like not a great idea for
actually,
a business.
In Astoria, we got a lot of beer gardens that are majority outside.
I have been to that beer garden more than the one that opened two blocks away from my old apartment.
Astoria's got great beer gardens. I know you hate Astoria.
Me?
You're terrified you'll have to live there again.
I used to live. I'm not terrified I'll have to live there
Every time I ask you to come live in Astoria again, you say never.
I mean it. I'll never live there again.
All right, Jeremy. Speaking of places we're going to live
one
again.
One more sucks email or no?
I think I feel good about that one. Unless, okay. Do you feel good about being
fine.
Said, being pro lying to babies?
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay, great.
I'll lie to a baby any day.
Excellent. Well, Jeremy, speaking of coming home, we're moving places. Mm-hmm. It's time
coming
to come
back
home.
To Astoria.
Coming back to Astoria. It's time to come home. To our first segment, email roulette.
All right.
As we revisit what we wrote, may I make a suggestion? I would love, and I'm thinking back to what we wrote, I don't know if it will fit, but I would love to see if there's a spot where we could just shoehorn in the word apace.
Oh, wow. So
sure.
Great.
You know?
Okay. We might be able to work it. Okay. So just a reminder, subject line buddies. Hey, man, long time no email. Just wondering what's been popping with you. I might be able to say what's been popping apace with you, although that sounds insane.
Too much.
I'll be in Greater Beantown area for the next couple of years, and I'm down to clown, literally whenevs and whatevs. Hit me up, bro. I could say hit me up apace, bro.
Hope things are going apace.
Yeah, I don't think that's how you use that, but I'm on board. Hope things are going apace.
Apace is a really...
Hope life proceeds apace.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I'll put it after it hit me up.
By the way, we have got to add glad you're into my network. We got to add that too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Hope your life continues apace.
Glad you're in my network.
Glad you're in my network. Boom.
Ugh, beautiful.
I feel great about this one now.
This is horrible.
I don't think I've ever read the trivia question,
please
so I'm
going
to do it.
Okay.
So, Jeremy.
Yeah.
And please know, Ben is evil and constructed these questions.
You okay.
can't game theory him because he's always one step ahead of you.
But we try.
But we try. And Matt and I don't know the answers.
So we're on your team.
Okay.
What author's infamous correspondence with his partner and future wife included not safe for work lines such as, like a hog riding a sow, or perhaps the horn I had was not big enough, or no end of her farts in my face?
Good God.
Just the fact that this exists is just wonderful, even if Jeremy has to send this email.
Yeah.
A, Vladimir Nabokov. Nabokov? Nabokov. Which one is right?
I think it's Nabokov.
Yeah,
Nabokov?
That would be the technical
I don't. I remember really pretentious people in college having a pronunciation that was different than everyone else and then insisting it was correct.
That's it. Nabokov would be that.
Nabokov? Great.
Yeah.
B, Oscar Wilde. C, F. Scott Fitzgerald. D, James Joyce.
Well, I can immediately eliminate Oscar Wilde, right? Because if it's no end of her farts in my face, Oscar Wilde was not bearing any of her farts.
But he was still married, right?
He was.
So it doesn't mean that he wouldn't have written this to his wife.
Nicole, good.
Never tried a game, Ben. He put that in there so that you would.
He's sort of smiling smugly right now.
Yeah,
so I think he might be delighted that, like, yes,
but here's the thing.
King of the red herring.
All of these, Ben is revealing what a literary nerd he is because all of these dudes had saucy relationships
all
with
these
their
are
wives.
Nasty
notoriously
boys.
Nasty boys, notorious correspondence with their wives. I think all of them have probably had correspondence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because James and Nora.
Yeah.
No end of her farts in my face.
F. Scott and old Zelda.
Okay, so here's the thing.
That seems a little too nasty for F. Scott.
I'm feeling Joyce.
I agree.
What do you think?
Also, the phrase, perhaps the horn I had was not big enough. It just feels old-timey in a way that I don't think F. Scott would
be. That I don't think F. Scott would have done.
There's a body, old-timey bodiness. So I think we take F. Scott right out of there.
I agree.
Can I just say, I majored in English in college, but I'm way out of my league here. I feel like you guys have much more access to getting this right
than
me.
This feels... Joycey to me.
That's where I am.
The longer I consider it, the more I'm like, this feels like Joyce. Because, that middle, perhaps the horn I had was not big enough, doesn't feel Nabokovian to me.
Yeah. Nabokovian.
Yeah.
I think we should pronounce it every way.
Because I think most people pronounce it Nabokov.
Yeah.
Nabokov.
Which is how Sting pronounces it in that song, Dance, Dance So Close to Me.
But that really?
Is wrong.
He says it?
Yeah.
Nabokov.
In that book by Nabokov. That's the part of the song.
Nabokov.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Nabokov.
Nabokov.
Nabokov?
I believe that's correct.
I've never heard that. Nabokov. Everyone's saying that.
Yeah.
Nabokov.
Some angry fan is going to be
Nabokov.
Like, Nabokov. Actually.
So like, I think.
I wish that's the people I want.
Listening to this show.
Passionate, angry Russian literature.
So like,
fan.
I think Maria Sharapova should be Sharapova, technically. Like Maria Sharapova, how everyone says it. I think technically it should be Sharapova.
I don't know. Also, I know he didn't write Russian literature. He just taught Russian literature at Wellesley College. Wellesley is the Beardsley. Do people know that? Do people care? Yeah, Wellesley is Beardsley in Lolita.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was not
aware.
We're
the haggard old women of Lolita.
Jeez.
Yep.
So.
Okay, so where are you going?
I think I am going to go James Joyce. I'm going to go D.
Okay.
James Joyce.
Confidently? And also know
not
that
confidently.
We lead people down the primrose path of doom.
Mm-hmm.
Not confidently, because, these are all nasty boys. Oscar Wilde, arguably the nastiest of the boys.
Saucy and nasty, we've said.
And as we know, nasty boys ain't worth a thing.
Is that a song?
That's Janet Jackson.
Oh.
Miss Jackson, If You're Nasty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say James Joyce.
Right. Oh!
Yes!
Yes!
Woo! Oh, guys, I'm deleting this draft. I'm throwing it to the trash.
Please send it to me. Please send it to me because I love it and I don't want it to go. Right, also, Jeremy, I'm just going to say something.
Uh-huh.
I'm throwing it out there. It's okay for you to say no. Would you send this to your LinkedIn contact?
Absolutely not. Not okay. A chance.
That's what you had in your pocket.
Had
I love
to
it.
Ask. Had to ask.
Is that the first time we've had it nailed it first try on the question?
I think so.
It doesn't happen often.
Here's my worry is Ben's going to make us pay for it in the future.
Yeah. It's scary. He's pissed.
It's going to be super hard for your next contestant.
This was well constructed though, Ben. Very well constructed.
Yeah, that was a puzzler. But like, you really had to think your way out of that one. So for some reason, that line, perhaps the horn I had was not big enough, sounds like it could have been in a Joyce novel.
Yes, and the farts.
Well, I mean, the farts, I think, sealed the deal.
Can I just say thank you, Ben, for just like bringing that to us?
Oh, yeah, what a gift.
Delightful. Mm-hmm.
What a gift.
Terrific. Never forget, everybody. So everybody in literature you admire was a filthy, filthy boy.
Mm-hmm.
They were all nasty, disgusting men.
Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Matt, thank you so much for having me on the show. This was a delight.
And if you love Jeremy's voice and you want to hear more of it, please listen to Mission to Six.
You'll hear it through a pretty heavy filter because I play a robot named C-53, so it'll be a little different, but I think you can probably spot it.